You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
The mother that gave me up had nothing but gratitude that Elaine Cohen took such good care of me. Now I'm going to cry. I miss her so much. She was the best mother that I could have. You know, the Lord is so good. He's so good. He gave me an English teacher. He told me I was a writer, and I became a writer, not because of my mysterious story, Rhett. That's not why. It's because when I was 10 years old, and I feel like everything happened when I was 10 years old. When I was 10 years old, I had a revelation. Like the Lord, I don't know if he came to me or how this happened. I just know that I was told, you need to be a writer. That's your job. You're going to be a writer. And I love to read. And my idol was the Little House on the Prairie writer, Laura Ingalls Wilder. So I was reading her books voraciously all the time.
You think you were living vicariously through her life?
I lived vicariously through the lives of every book I ever picked up. I didn't have a childhood. My childhood was living in the Little House in the Prairie. My childhood was, the Nancy Drew. My childhood was, you know.
Now you say that you didn't have a childhood. Now, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I was shy. I was in the corner with a book. I just didn't go out there and live. You know, I had a wonderful family. I loved my family so much. I never wanted to leave them or be without them. In fact, when I started first grade, a little girl, my mother was called to the office because I was making the other children cry, especially this one little girl, talking about how much I missed my mother and my dog and my baby brother and sister at home, you know, and I made her cry and she missed her family too. So I've always been, you know, kind of a loner
You're going to be shocked at this, because when I was 13, I remember being our window. We ended up selling the house and living in an apartment complex. And I was with my stepfather, my adopted father. My mother was off with her addiction, she would later be healed of. And I remember I heard all the kids outside playing. The pool was right below my bedroom window. I'm on the second floor. And I could hear them playing. And I was so shy. I'd sit there in the summer and I wouldn't go out to that pool because I was afraid of people. So here's two of us who become on-air personalities, and we both were painfully shy.
Yeah, I never wanted this. I was so happy to be behind the scenes and be a writer. And, you know, I worked in the television industry. I was a writer for a couple of Nickelodeon shows, but I was a writer. You know, they would put me on camera sometimes. They would ask me to be an extra because I was, you know, I was young. I looked very young, like a kid. And they would put lots of makeup on me. And that was fine. You want to put lots of makeup on me and pretend I'm, you know, Rockerella, you know, Cinderella's evil sister. That was fine with me. I love to do things like that. And I love to sing and I love to dance. And, you know, and I was gregarious, but only for myself. You know, I was not the kid that was out there at all, except for in school. When I was in school, it seemed like I knew more than other people. So because I was such a reader.
Because you're a reader. Readers are leaders. Now, let me ask you this now. You're brought up as a Jew. My niece was brought up in a household, very, very affluent, but social Jews. And people who may not understand this, I had the guy who wrote the book Abraham. He came to my home in number one best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author. And I realized the reason the Jews, his book was called, one of them was called Abraham, is that the Jews survived by being a collective strength. Moish, you're going to be the jeweler. Hey, Bernie, you're going to do this, and so on. And they stuck together. And that's how the Jews survived. And that's why they also probably inspire a jealousy among others, because they survive by that collective energy. So when you marry outside of Judaism and you're a Jew, you're weakening the foundation. No, make it a Jew, you know. And So you were brought up a Jew. Did you go through bat mitzvah? Did you do that whole thing? Okay.
Yes. Well, actually, it was interesting how I was brought up. I wasn't brought up like in the Jewish section of town, like my mother was and my father was. My parents actually moved us into the suburbs of Pittsburgh. And that was really weird because there were no Jews there. And I was the only Jew in my in school. There was another boy and he didn't talk about it. No one really knew him or that he was Jewish. I was very proud and I would educate the other kids in my class about Judaism. And we were conservative to begin with. Then we became Reformed. There's, you know, different. I don't know if you know about the different kinds of Judaism, but anyway. Yes, I had all the education. I went to Hebrew school and Sunday school and bat mitzvah. And well, we called it Hebrew barf school. We hated it, but
Hebrew barf school.
Everyone who ever went to Hebrew school knows Hebrew barf school is the way that you really call it. Anyway, I was the leader of my Jewish B'nai B'rith, the BBYO. The B'nai B'rith Youth Organization. I was the president of my club. My father was the president of our synagogue. My mother was the president of B'nai B'rith. So, no, we were not just social Jews.
Let me ask you this, though. Okay, so you're brought up Jewish. At what age did you get converted to believe in Jesus as your Messiah, Yeshua as your Messiah?
So that was 2018. So I guess I was 40-something. I don't know.
Oh, really? That late in life? I was 29 years of age. I thought Jesus was a bunch of hooey, and I was into Eastern religions. And at the age of 14, I read an autobiography of a yogi in Satchidananda. And at 16, I went up to Boston and got inducted into transcendental meditation. But I was out in the woods and I had a light descend upon me. I didn't even know in the scriptures it says, beware of the devil because he comes as a light.
Uh-oh.
A deceptive light. And I didn't even know that, but I knew whatever this was, it wasn't good. And I stopped that whole thing of that Eastern religion stuff. And then it would be at the age of, I would still pray to God and I'd still have little interventions because I think I was ordained to be his from the beginning of time or before time. But at 29, then I had this radical experience in my living room with Belia. So, okay, I'll take a chance that you died and all this stuff. And anyway, so how did you in your 40s? I mean, usually you're pretty rock solid in your beliefs and your foundation. That takes a lot for somebody to get converted when they're 40.
I was in my 50s. No, I was in my 50s. I guess I was 53. Yeah, 2018.
What happened?
So I was, I became a show host, as you know, on Facebook. I started doing this show called The Beach Report. And
huge following, amazing. Huge following,
right? And this is like right before COVID, I started to notice that a lot of crazy stuff was going on. And especially with the social media, you know, people were looking for answers. They were trying to figure out what was wrong. President Trump had been elected. And I know we don't want to get into politics too much. However, I started to educate people about things in the world that I didn't know about either. So I would just started reading things. And some of the books that I read would refer to revelations and end times and stuff like that. And I was like, what is this? What is all this stuff? And a lot of my followers are very religious and follow Christ. And they would kind of explain things to me too. Like I was educating them and they were educating me. And I kept reading all this stuff. And one day, one of my followers, her name is Trish, and Trish actually helps people when they're dying, if they haven't accepted Christ, to accept Christ before they die. And so she would tell me these stories, and I just loved listening to them. And one day I just thought about it, and I said, hey, Trish, can you baptize somebody? Can you become a believer and get baptized like in the ocean? And she was like, what are you saying? I said, can you do this for me? And she was like, let's go. So we went to the ocean. I had all of my followers were, I did a live show of it and showed them all what I was doing and Trish baptized me.
Okay, so why? What put you over the edge that you would go against, you know, traditional Judaism and believe in Jesus as Messiah.
Because I had learned that everything I was reading now, I was being taught that everything was a lie and we were being deceived in so many ways. And as a Jew, I thought, wow, I'm being deceived in ways that I cannot even comprehend. Because like you said, I was in my 50s and I was a very devout Jew and always I raised my children in the synagogue. You know, I never shirked those responsibilities. And it's all because I was adopted, because God chose me, if you will, chosen as chosen can be, you know, to be adopted and brought into the Jewish religion. You don't question that. I didn't question it. I was like, well, God must really love me to, you know, put me through all this. And then he opened my eyes and he said to me in not so many words, but Jesus is the Lord and he is your savior. And you have not really looked at his story, because I never read the New Testament. I wasn't supposed to read it. I was told not to. I was told to stay away from those crazy messianic Jews. They don't know what they're talking about. They're sacrilege. You know, it was bad stuff about them. I remember a man in our synagogue. He was a father of one of my dearest friends, and he was the president of our synagogue, and he became messianic, and everybody was like, wow, Mr. Fink is crazy, you know. That was what we were told. And so here I am in 2018, and I'm just like, I'm all I want to do is hug Jesus, and I'm talking to Jesus every day, and it's not like I hadn't done that before, because I always felt that I knew that my mother was Christian. In fact, one of the things that she said to me when I met her was that it's very weird. The weirdest thing about you to me is that you're Jewish. And I looked at her like, well, you did that. You're the one that gave me to the Jews. Why are you surprised? Yeah. But it was kind of funny. But I've always felt that hand on my shoulder, getting back to being raised Jewish. Now, I was raised in the suburbs. And the synagogue that my parents went to, we didn't even have a building. We were just a group of ragtag Jews in the suburbs. And we were going to like the little churches for our high holidays. And we did our Sunday school in a Catholic girls' school.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Heard someone say the other day they'd seen in me true love displayed, blessed by something I had done for them. No sooner did they speak those words, I felt myself somehow disturbed, uneasy as I took their compliment. 'Cause I know the heart inside